This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Josh Allen under center. The snap. Josh sets up deep off play action. Under pressure, looks downfield, looking for John Brown. Got him! Makes the catch at the 20, at the 10, into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo! Touchdown, Bills!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
John Murphy on the Bills Radio Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Your comfort foods, what are they? Because we all need them. Morning, night, afternoon, they fill our bellies, but they also fill our souls. So you can send your thoughts on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. And we're still chewing over this idea of no fans in the stands or fake fans and fake crowd noise over the broadcast. But right now, we're pleased to welcome former Pro Bowl center and Bills radio analyst Eric Wood to the show. Eric, we finally hit a lull after a full few weeks of NFL topics, everything from free agency to the draft and their preparations for trying to return the schedule. So far, how would you grade the NFL for the way it's handled everything this spring?
You know, it's hard to give them anything but an A because they've done what they've needed to do, and they didn't delay the draft, and they gave everybody some much-needed content, some relative content. I've enjoyed watching The Last Dance, but that's a film from 1998. And so for the NFL to still go through with the draft and all that went into it from a production standpoint was impressive. But, you know, they've done what they had to do, and hopefully the season starts on time.
Here we are in this period now where rookies generally would be going through their first mini camps and getting their first reps. And of course, we'd be looking ahead to OTAs. You didn't retire that long ago. Can you imagine trying to figure things out as a rookie and doing everything over a Zoom call or our video?
Yeah, it'd be tough, honestly. And I experienced the lockout in 2011, and that was similar to this. And we had new coaching staff. We had Chan Gailey's offense that we needed to learn and all that. But this is unprecedented times, and it will be tough for these guys. And, you know, it's going to allow veterans a chance that are familiar with offenses, that know the playbooks, and that know the routine of the NFL to really probably solidify roster spots during fall camp. And lately there's been a trend of getting younger in the NFL. A lot of that's come from the rookie wage scale. Nowadays, rookies are cheaper, and they're able to be teams are confident in their ability to develop those guys and utilize more of the cap space on your high-end quarterbacks, corners, defensive ends, et cetera, and then supplement the roster with cheaper rookies. Now you have to be careful with doing that.
You talk about the veteran players, but what about the coaching staff? So in the case of Buffalo, Sean McDermott's had his guys together. I mean, he's been established for a few years, as opposed to, say, I don't know, Joe Judge with the Giants or even Mike McCarthy in Dallas. How much more of an advantage is it when your coaching staff has been together for a few years and at least they understand how the rest of the guys operate?
Yeah, I think it's a tremendous advantage this year. And, you know, again, back to the lockout year, it's similar to that because all these players that don't have experience in these schemes are, yes, it's a little different this time because they're able to do the virtual meetings, but not being able to get together and actually run the offense or defense. I think a team like the Bills, which are in their fourth year under Sean McDermott, are at a big time advantage. Another thing the Bills have done, and a number of teams have done as well, is that they built a roster full of high character guys that they can be confident in at this time, that they're out getting their work done and staying in shape, and you're confident that those guys will come in ready to roll.
Eric Wood is a former Pro Bowl center for the Bills with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. It's so crazy to think about the AFC East and with the departure of Tom Brady to Tampa. And let's just assume for a second that Tua starts in Miami. So if Ryan Fitzpatrick starts, it throws the whole curve out of skew. But if it ends up being Tua along with Sam Darnold and Jarrett Stidham and then Josh Allen, Josh is the oldest quarterback that would be starting for the AFC East. That's crazy, Eric.
That is crazy. And, you know, quickly on the Dolphins, I would bet that Ryan Fitzpatrick will start the season as the starter. They bring in, actually, Chan Gailey, who I mentioned earlier, and Ryan Fitzpatrick was on the team with me at that time. Ryan's familiar with the offense down there. He, in my opinion, would definitely give them the best chance to win early on, to a point that you made earlier, that it's going to be tough for these rookies to come in and get up to full speed with missing all of this OTA time.
Sure.
But yes, that's absolutely remarkable that Josh Allen could be the oldest and will have won the most games, you know, in the AFC East too. And it's wild to think now of a Patriots team that could be rolling into the season with Jarrett Stidham or Brian Hoyer as their starting quarterback when they just had so much stability at the quarterback position for so long.
Okay, so I got to ask, because you're talking about two quarterbacks that are complete opposite ends of the spectrum. Let's talk about Ryan just for a second. As you mentioned, you played with him. He's the wrong guy to bring on your roster if you want to tank, because the man is so competitive. But how impressive is it that he has continued to find work as a quarterback in the NFL, regardless of division or team or scheme? The man just continues to play.
Yeah, and I got roasted hard. So last year during August, I made a tweet about how the Dolphins blew their tanking chances of getting the first pick in the draft by bringing in Ryan Fitzpatrick, because he will end up starting and he will end up winning enough games. Well, then they start off in an epically bad fashion, historically bad pace they start the season, and then they go on to win enough games to only get the number 5 pick in the draft. It's funny, last year, if we were saying who would they be tanking for, we would have said Tua, and they still end up with 2 at 5. It's funny how things work out. But,
yes,
you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, although it's impressive what he's done, it's not surprising what he's done with his career, because when he's in an NFL locker room, he's everybody's favorite player on the team, from the management, from the people working in the building, to the players on the actual team. So he just goes about his business in a professional manner every single day. He's a lot of fun. He gets guys to buy in. He allows players on the outside to just go and make plays, and he trusts his receivers a lot. He can get in trouble throwing interceptions because of that, but he brings out a lot of confidence in guys. You see a guy like Devontae Parker last year post the best numbers of his career, a former first-round draft pick, for the Dolphins out of my alma mater, University of Louisville. Well, Fitzpatrick tells him exactly where he wants him to be. Hey, I'm going to put the ball here. And then Devontae ends up having his best year as a pro.
Talking about Josh Allen, we see this steady progression over the past couple of years, and you got a front row seat for it. You're part of that roster until 17. Where have you seen him grow the most?
You know, last year I thought his decision-making was a lot better. And you know, he comes into the league and everyone said, you know, oh, he's just got a big arm and he can just throw the deep ball. Well, last year, I don't know if it was a new receiving core or what it was, but he couldn't connect on anything deep almost all year. But his accuracy went up tremendously, especially in the intermediate game. And he was making better decisions, quicker decisions, his sack numbers. Now, the offensive line was improved last year, but the sack numbers went way down. The turnovers went down. And, you know, he was, I believe, the only quarterback in the NFL without a fourth quarter turnover or a red zone turnover, which is remarkable when you think about that for a guy in his only his second year in the NFL, and a guy that everyone says makes so many big mistakes when it was crunch time or in the Bills are in scoring position. He wasn't making those critical errors. So I know the Bills fans are very excited what they've seen. they're cautiously optimistic, because when you have a 17-year playoff drought that they were a part of and so much turnover at the quarterback position ever since Jim Kelly, it's hard to put all your faith in one guy. But trust me, Bills fans are desperate for Josh to be their guy for a long time up there.
Eric Wood, former Pro Bowl offensive lineman for the Bills and now part of their radio team, is the color analyst. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You mentioned the playoff drought. When people talk about that trip to the postseason, that crazy finish, the regular season where the Bengals beat the Ravens, and you guys are all as a as a locker room together in one area, or the Bills are, what is that, for a franchise, what does that mean? Even though there was no win there, what does that mean to at least have gotten into the playoffs?
It was remarkable, and that ended up being my last year in the NFL, and I actually played 100% of the snaps that season, but after an exit physical, I found out I have a career-ending neck injury, which was an absolutely crazy time. But the Bills hire Sean McDermott that year, and Brandon Bean comes in, and they make these big marquee trades. We get rid of Sammy Watkins, our first rounder from a couple years prior, our first pick in the draft a couple years prior, in Ronald Darby, our corner. Then midway through the season, we trade another first-round draft pick, former first-round draft pick for the Bills, Marcell Dareus, and everyone says the Bills are tanking, and all we are hearing internally from the coaching staff and the management is, no, we're not. We're setting up our culture. We are going to do this. We're going forward with guys who we trust, guys who are built with the DNA that we're looking for. Well, we put our trust in Sean and Brandon and guys like Kyle Williams and Lorenzo Alexander and myself were leading, sometimes with maybe a little bit of blind faith because we were new to these guys as well. and we get over the hump that year and break the 17-year playoff drought. I played 9 years under it, which wasn't a ton of fun, all those losing seasons. But it was so sweet to finally – get to the playoffs, get that monkey off our back, have the Bills fans just, obviously they made a name for themselves in the last few years, how passionate they are, how well they travel and all that. It was fun to reward them in 2017.
For sure. Well, if you got to go out, that's a good way to do it. But you said playing every snap that season in 17 and not knowing that you were injured. I mean, that's tough to do for an offensive lineman. Any secrets, any tips you would share with other O linemen to be able to stay that resilient and consistent?
And I was the only player on our team to play 100% of the snaps that year. So it is a rare feat. And I had a lot of injuries throughout my career. And I would say a lot of it's luck. But throughout your career, you learn to manage your body better and better. Towards the end of my career, I just felt like I was in a great rhythm. But, you have to take advantage of everything an NFL team's providing you resource-wise nowadays. And I tell the young guys, you're so used to just being young and being able to bounce back after games. But essentially, you're playing without the playoffs 20 games compared to your normal 12 or 13 in college. And it's a more violent game in the NFL, too. So you have to learn to manage your body. You got to eat right. You got to sleep right. And then nowadays, NFL teams are getting better and better with their physical therapy, with their massages they're providing the players on the team and all that. But, part of it's luck. I had Joe Thomas on my podcast. My podcast called What's Next with Eric Wood, and I had Joe Thomas come on. Joe's famous for playing the most consecutive snaps in NFL history. And I asked him about that as well, and he mentioned the same kind of things. You gotta play through some pain because you're always going to get dinged up, even if you aren't technically on the injury report or you're not out with injury. The injury rate in the NFL on every season for every player is 100%. So it takes pushing through some aches and pains, but there's a good amount of luck to it as well.
Eric, before I let you go, it's a position that you played that requires reps and requires getting down there and working with the guys on your left and your right. And there really is no shortcut to that consistency. So if you're talking to a bunch of young offensive linemen, rookie offensive linemen during this time where you can't get together with your teammates, what do you tell them to work on?
Yeah, that's a great question, Amy. At this time, you need to memorize the playbook, especially if it's something new. So, one of the easiest ways to get on the same page from a continuity standpoint for an offensive line is for everybody to know what you're doing and everyone to know the plays. So now we can diagnose what the defense is bringing to us, and we're not necessarily communicating what we need to do on the play. And I've been a part of both ends of that spectrum. And so if everybody knows what they're doing, if everyone knows the assignments, then you can get on the same page. But really at this time, if I was a young offensive lineman, I'll be utilizing this time to watch myself on film to try and get better. I'd be watching other guys in my position around the NFL, around college, around high school, whatever level of football I'm playing, to maybe steal some skills, steal some tricks, some tools that other guys are using that I can implement in my game. I'd be studying defensive linemen that I'd be facing during this upcoming season. And then physically, you know, everybody's kind of in the same boat right now. You're locked out of gyms. You're locked out of your NFL facility, college facility, whatever it may be, wherever you're normally working out. Well, everyone's locked out. So what are you doing to take that next step to try and make your body composition better for this upcoming year? And maybe you can catch an advantage on everybody else at this time.
You can find Eric on Twitter at EWood70, former Pro Bowl center for the Bills, now part of their radio team. And so that passionate fan base loves to hear these types of comments and this analysis on game days. And we're hoping that this fall we will see it and hear it again. Eric, thank you so much for a couple of minutes. It's been great to catch up with you.
Yeah, my pleasure, Amy.
He says, in order to prepare yourself when you can't get together with your teammates, you know that playbook. Study it inside and out, because that way at least you are all on the same page and you can prepare for what the defense is throwing at you. So really good stuff with Eric. First time I've ever spoken to him, but I loved hearing his memories of that 2017 playoff appearance and what it meant to the Bills franchise. And of course, his thoughts on both Josh Allen, who could soon be the most experienced quarterback in the AFC East, as well as Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's a former Bill himself. And I told you, offensive linemen are the best talkers on the team, and they pride themselves on being the smartest guys in the locker room. So if you missed that conversation with Eric or you want to share it, of course, that'll be part of our podcast, AfterHoursAmyLawrence.com. Comfort foods and fake fans in the stands. They're opposite ends of the spectrum, but those are our two primary topics tonight on Twitter, on Facebook. Good to hear from you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.